Chapter 9. Hey, Aiden. Wait up. Captain Aiden Versio had captivated Tarvin Larica from the moment she showed up on the Determination, dressed in TIE pilot black, wrapped in Imperial legacy, and crowned with the rare aura of a Death Star survivor. When she was in a room, she owned it, even if she stood quietly at attention like all the rest of them. Hers was not a common beauty, but stemmed from her straight back and fierce dark eyes. And, Tarvin had to admit, her smooth, warm-hued skin and lustrous black hair also helped to make her unforgettable. Of course, conspiracy theories had abounded as to why Aiden Versio had survived when so many others had not. Double agent, someone had whispered. Force user, others said. Her dad arranged for her tie to be modified, still others said. But anyone who watched her pilot her vessel could see that it wasn't anything other than damn fine skills that had saved her life. In fact, it was the thing that had edged Tarvin from simple respect to, well, kind of a crush, he supposed. He'd never seen such ability. Watching her fly was more like watching an aerial performance than a regular military maneuver. Which was why he was having a hard time coming to grips with what had just happened. It had been a skirmish, not a battle, fortunately. One of many that the Determination had encountered in its patrols in the Midrim. But something about Aiden had been off today. While the Empire had defeated the small handful of foolish rebels, Aiden had missed shots she should have easily been able to take, and had been slow in coming around at times. He'd overheard their team leader dressing her down and watched out of the corner of his eye as Aiden's cheeks had flushed, though her beautiful face remained as implacable as ever. Now, as they were heading back from the debriefing, Tarvin wanted to catch up to her and find out why her game was off. Maybe something was wrong. Maybe he could help. She didn't slow, and he had to break into a jog to reach her, taking the time to awkwardly smooth the stubborn tuft of hair that never wanted to obey. He fell into step behind her. She gave him a quick glance, then lowered her head, almost like a reek about to charge, and kept going. Aiden, he began, but she cut him off. I'm fine. She obviously wasn't, and she had to know it. He wanted to reach out and take her arm, but knew the gesture wouldn't be welcomed. So he simply said, You don't seem fine. You missed at least two clear shots, and that's not like you. I took out two others. Yeah, but I took out three, and we both know my count beating yours is not normal. He grinned, and he saw her start to smile. Well, she admitted, you're right about that. She glanced around at all the other crew members striding briskly past them and lowered her voice. Everything changed after the Death Star, you know. Tarvin nodded, sobering. He did know. I started thinking about everyone we lost, and I got so angry. And then I started thinking about Alderaan. She brushed a sweat-damp lock of hair from her forehead. The rebels attacked a battle station with no civilians, only people who had signed up to be there. We attacked a whole planet that didn't even have defenses. Tarvin felt himself grow pale as she spoke, and this time he did reach out to grasp her arm, gently, in warning. This is a bad place to talk, he said. Indeed, heads were already starting to turn in their direction. Others couldn't hear the conversation, but they could see the look of distress on Aiden's face. A sure sign, if anyone knew her, that there was something gravely amiss. We're off duty in 2 hours. Meet me at the bar. We'll talk more, okay? She nodded, and quickly composed herself. Another thing Tarvin admired about her. He'd been told his whole life he wore his heart on his sleeve. He blamed his fair coloring. It betrayed him constantly. 2 hours, she said. See you then. And Tarvin? Yeah, she smiled. His heart flipped over. Thanks. He watched her stride away on her long legs, head high, as if nothing in the world was wrong. But there was, and she'd confided in him. Tarvin understood that some people were having a harder time adjusting to the loss of the Death Star than others. Aiden was clearly upset. He wanted help, and he thought he knew how. He was seated at a table in a little alcove in the back by the time Iden had arrived. They'd both changed into fresh uniforms, and since she was off duty, Iden had unpinned her hair from the neat bun she usually wore. It fell loose about her shoulders. He'd already ordered and was sipping a beer. Iden flagged down the serving droid and ordered a whiskey, neat. They were silent until the droid returned. Then they sent it on its way. Tarvin waited for her to speak first.
I probably shouldn't have said anything to you, she said.
No, no, he assured her quickly. I'm glad you did. Really, what happened to the Death Star? You're not the only one who was shaken up. I can't imagine how strange it must be to have survived that. She grimaced and took another sip of the amber beverage. No, she said. I don't think anyone can. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop seeing Alderaan either. She lifted dark eyes to his.
Tarvin, we shouldn't have done it.
Tarvin froze in his feet. His heart thudded rapidly. Go on, he said.
I mean, the rebel base?
Fine. Destroyed the rebellion and the criminals. They brought everything on themselves.
But an entire planet?
Her voice rose, and Tarvin placed a hand on hers to remind her to speak quietly. She didn't pull away. A lot of hostile, dangerous rebels died that day. There's no doubt about that. But a lot of other people did, too. People who didn't agree with the rebellion. People who maybe even didn't know what was going on. Children. Resources, animals, plants found nowhere else in the galaxy. All for a display of power. And now we're hunting those few who were off-world for no reason other than that they've had the misfortune of surviving the death of everything they've loved. Tarvin sat, stunned.
It was worse than he'd feared. Iden was identifying with the other survivors.
He was glad he'd asked her to talk. He could get her help. He squeezed the strong hand that still rested beneath his own. Iden took it as a sign to continue.
I don't want to be a part of mass murder, she said simply. When I saw Alderaan, a place that offered no real physical threat to the Empire, just blown to pieces, she shook her head. Then the Empire came after those who hadn't even been on the planet. Those poor people are being hunted down like animals. This is wrong, Tarvin. The Empire says it wants to help people, but instead it's erased an entire planet filled with them? How can I have seen that with my own eyes and be able to look myself in the mirror ever again?
Tarvin stared at her, trying to mitigate his horror at her words. Iden, but it was as if the emotions had been pent up inside her and now spilled forth in a flood.
The Empire must be swept away. It needs to go. And you know what else? I think the Partisans were right. I think violence is the only thing the Empire really understands. It certainly knows how to utilize it against helpless people.
Iden, Tarvin said gently, his heart full of pain for her.
This isn't you. You're just confused. I'm gonna help you, Iden. Others will too. You'll see.
Her eyes widened suddenly, and her gaze slid away to the rest of the bar, watching. Worried. With his other hand, the one that wasn't placed over Iden's, Tarvin clicked off the recording, then transmitted it to their commanding officer. A few seconds later, it vibrated in his hand, and he read a message. Coming. You did the right thing.
It's gonna be all right, he said. I promise. I remember right after the explosion, Commander Udre took our squadron aside. He told us that if any of us felt troubling thoughts, to come forward and ask for help. It's normal to feel like that. And especially since you survived it.
Iden jerked her hand back and clenched it into a fist.
Tarvin, what have you done?
He felt bad about deceiving her, but it was for her own good.
I recorded this conversation and I just sent it to Commander Udre.
Iden bolted upright, knocking the chair over. She looked around, wild-eyed, an animal in a trap. The distinctive tramp, tramp of stormtrooper boots could be heard even over the bar's music. Apprehension spurted through Tarvin. Commander Udre had said he was heading over to take Iden to see someone, to talk, to heal her. Why were there stormtroopers? He rose too,
stepping forward and holding out a hand. Hang on a minute, guys. There's some mistake. Iden and I are going to see Commander Udre. We were just leaving.
Stand aside, Lieutenant Larika, came the clipped voice of a lead trooper. Commander Iden Versio, you are under arrest for sedition. Please, come with us.
Iden's fist was still clenched. For an awful, wonderful moment, Tarvin honestly thought she was going to fight them. Then slowly, with visible effort, Iden relaxed her hand. She did not resist as two of them stepped beside her, one on each side, seizing her wrists and snapping a pair of stun cuffs on them. Then they grasped her upper arms with their armor-covered fingers and escorted her from the premises. Just as she was almost out the door, Iden looked over her shoulder. A look of haunted betrayal in her eyes was like a blaster bolt to his heart. Lieutenant, said the remaining stormtrooper. A hand closed hard on Tarvin's elbow. I'll need you to come with me. Tarvin felt the blood drain from his face as he stared into the black sockets of the trooper's helmet. What have you done? Iden had said. What indeed?
The daughter of renowned Admiral Garrick Versio of the Imperial Security Bureau and famous artist Zihei Versio may be a traitor to the glorious Empire,
holojournalist Alton Castle stated, with just the right amount of horror in his smooth voice.
Captain Iden Versio has been recorded as spouting lies about the Empire and inciting violence, denouncing the brave subjects of the Death Star battle station who lost their lives while she survived. This is not in keeping with the behavior of the highly decorated captain hitherto, but the words are damning. She is slated for an immediate court-martial. Hero of the Empire, Admiral Nasha Garvin, will prosecute, while the specialized legal analyst droid HM-12 will provide proper defense as required by Imperial Navy law.
Lieutenant Zha Ike, assistant to Admiral Garrick Versio, stared, mouth open, in an unprofessional, unconscious expression of shock as the story unfolded. Then he swallowed and straightened his gabberwool jacket. The Admiral needed to be told about this, and Ike could not imagine that his reaction would be pleasant. Still, Ike knew his duty. Versio was eating his lunch, a meal of steak, brightly colored roasted vegetables, and kuanut bread, as Ike rushed in without knocking.
Sir, Ike began, his voice tense and strained. Your daughter...
The young man fell silent as he realized his employer was already watching. His back to Ike, Versio simply held up a hand. Ike remained quiet and breathed deeply, attempting to recover his composure during what surely had to be the worst public relations disaster the Admiral had ever had to navigate. Both men watched as images of Iden flashed on the vidscreen. Iden in stun cuffs, Iden surrounded by stormtroopers, angry crowds surging toward her as she was roughly shoved into a shuttle. Only after Castle had assured the viewers that the Holonet would continue to follow this shocking developing story did the Admiral wipe his mouth with a fine linen napkin and, still without turning, speak. There's a datapad and a personal holoprojector on the corner of my desk. I imagine you're going to be swamped by journalists. The datapad is for you, the hologram for them, and that is all you're going to give them for the moment. Need I remind you, you are to say nothing to anyone about this unless I instruct you to. Ike blinked, stunned. Damn, but the Admiral was a model of calm control. The Lieutenant was embarrassed at his own earlier distress.
Of course, sir.
Thank you. That will be all. Even though he had been dismissed, Ike lingered.
Sir, is there anything you need?
If there is, I'll ask, Versio said calmly. And Ike?
Sir.
Never, ever enter this room without knocking again.
Of course not, sir. Apologies, sir.
The door closed behind the chastened assistant. Versio continued to watch the breaking news, finishing his meal as they played Tarvin's recording over images of Iden shamed and in stun cuffs. and smiled slightly.